Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today for the second in a three-part series on these Fridays that Bob is taking us through the Christmas story. Today, through the account of Luke, I believe, and no live phone calls today, but you can still pose your questions to us by voicemail at 844-322-2742, or you can send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Once again, that phone number, 844-322-2742, or by email to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way, we'll be glad to hear from you. And right now, let's get this program underway. It's part two of the Christmas story, and here to do that is Bob Christopher.
Well, we're going to take a look at the book of Luke and see how Luke lays out this Christmas story. And there's a lot of detail that he includes that we're going to bypass and just focus on first the angel's announcement to Mary and her response to that. We're going to look at the actual birth, and then we're going to look at the shepherd's visit to see Jesus lying in the manger. Yeah. And there's a lot of rich truth that we're gonna extract from this, and things that can be a real encouragement to each and every one of us. The story out of Luke is my favorite since our kids have been young. I've gathered our family every Christmas day, and we read the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, and it's been a long tradition in our family. So today we want to take a look at this story. We're going to start in chapter 1, verse 26, and it begins this way. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, the sixth month isn't the sixth month on the Jewish calendar. It's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So Elizabeth was going to give birth to John the Baptist. Right. John the Baptist is a cousin of Jesus. It was announced to her that she was going to be pregnant, and that was a miracle in and of itself. She hid out for 5 months, and then in the sixth month, and that's what he's referring to here. Right. So Gabriel, the angel, was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And notice as we read through this how many times the word virgin is used. Why? Because this is a vitally important fact of the story. Without this, it wouldn't be the same. So she's a virgin. And so he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." So the angel said the same to Joseph, "You will call his name Jesus." Jesus means Savior, to save his people from their sins. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So this isn't an ordinary child. This isn't an ordinary birth. It has God's fingerprints all over it, and this babe is going to be the Savior of the world, the ruler. And he's going to rule with truth and grace. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, we live in a day and age where we don't have a lot of visitations from angels, at least that we know of, that we can write about, that we can tell our friends, you know, the story. But here, God sent a specific angel, the angel Gabriel, to appear to Mary. Now, that would be a very frightening proposition to think that God is going to send an angel. If you're like me, I think if you're like any human being on the planet, you're going to start thinking, well, what have I done? What have I done to bring an angel to me? What is he going to do to me? How is he going to punish me for something I've done in the past? Well, that's not what this visitation was all about. And so the angel begins with greetings, O favored one. So it's kind of interesting when you look in the Word of God and you see God intervening in a person's life. When you look, for example, at Abraham and Moses and David, and you just go through the entire Word of God and you see when God shows up in an individual's life, it's always to bring blessing and favor. And that's the same with us. When God shows up in this message concerning Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, it's to bring us favor, to show us his grace so that we can be saved, so that we can respond through faith and be saved. So whenever God visits, he has something good in mind. Yes. He has something good and beneficial for those he is encountering. So the angel said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled and tried to discern what sort of greeting this was to be. So she wasn't sure. She wasn't sure, and I don't think any of us would have been sure, would have grasped the magnitude of what this plan was all about. And so he tries to calm her and says, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Yeah. And you know, the gospel message says the same thing to every single person who received Jesus. You have found favor with God. God has reached out to you, and through Jesus, he's taken away your sins and has provided life, so enabling you to cross over from death to life. Now, as I talked about, there's a number of references to the fact that Mary is a virgin. Now, many people may confuse this with the Immaculate Conception. There's the virgin birth, and we see that in the Bible. And then there's another thing called the Immaculate Conception. We don't see that in the Word of God. That's a Catholic doctrine, and it refers to Mary. And what they say is that she was preserved free from the effects of original sin from her conception. And that's what qualified her to be the mother of Jesus. But when we read this story, we realize that no, she was just a normal person that had found favor with God. God extended grace to her, invited her to be a part of his plan to bring Jesus into the world, and she was a virgin. And so that's what was important, and this babe was going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit. So it was going to bypass, Holy Spirit was going to bypass the normal way that children are brought into the world. And the normal way makes us all sinners. So we inherited the fallen nature of Adam.
Yes.
And that is passed on to each and every one of us through birth. But because Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, because Mary was a virgin, then he came into this world sinless. The effects of original sin did not get passed on to him. And that's important for us to understand.
Yes.
If it had, then he would have been blemished from the get-go and could not be the sacrifice that would take away the sins of the world. But in this story, we see something about Jesus, who he is, that he's going to be the Son of the Most High. He's the Son of God. He is going to sit on the throne of David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary sat there and said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That's faith.
Yes.
That's the response of faith. So in this annunciation, in this appearing by the angel, and the angel bringing the message of God to Mary, we see the gospel as spelled out in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith is our willing participation in the plan of God that has been given to us in the person of Christ Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, friends, with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us for session two of the Christmas story here on Basic Gospel. And we're pausing for just a moment to remind you that we need your help to continue broadcasting and streaming the good news of Jesus Christ every day on these airwaves. If Basic Gospel has found a place in your life, please help us keep the message going so that others might hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace and our Lord. So click donate at basicgospel.net to help with your gift today. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And when you make your gift this month, we're going to send you something very, very special as our way of saying thank you for standing with us to proclaim the fullness of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now back to the Christmas story. And again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. We're going to go now to Luke chapter 2 and just read through how the actual birth of Christ unfolded. And Luke, always being the historian, sets the story in a historical context. It gives us a time and kind of a place and a period. He gives us historical figures to mark this. So Luke is a historian. I think oftentimes, Bob, we read the Bible and we picture in our minds kind of Bible land,
It
doesn't, it's not real. It's Bible land. It's in our imagination. And, we think of maybe Disney creating Bible land for us or something like that. But that's not the case. I mean, this happened at a real place. It happened in Bethlehem. You can go and visit it. It happened at a time when Caesar Augustus was emperor of Rome. Mm-hmm. He was the guy. It happened when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all of these things have been verified historically. Historians have looked and said these folks were there at this particular time. So in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So this was a census. Now, this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David. So Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. It's a little town west of the Sea of Galilee, not too far. You can go and visit it. Mm-hmm. They have a church there called the Church of the Annunciation, and they also have a synagogue that you can go in, and it's modeled after what Jesus might have gone into to preach his first sermon when his ministry started. But all of that you can go see. So they lived in Nazareth, but they went south to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now, why did they do that? Well, Luke explains, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So he came out of that bloodline. So Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through Judah, through David, all the way down to Joseph and then to Jesus. And so they went there to be registered. He went there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, so they were not married, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her first son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Right.
So we see the humble surroundings of this birth. They went to Bethlehem. It's just not very far from Jerusalem itself. They went there. Why? Because it was the city of David. David was a shepherd there. There's still shepherds there in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. You can see sheep grazing on the hillsides. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. But when they got there, because everybody went to be registered, they couldn't find an adequate place, so they stayed probably in a cave where some animals and things would have been fed. Mm-hmm, and that's where Jesus came into this world. And after he did, Mary wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger. That's simply a feeding trough. We think of it as a wooden trough that they probably put together, but it was something probably hewn out of stone.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have put the feed in that. And that's where they laid him. Why? Because there was no place for them in the end.
Right.
Now, you would think that Luke would give more into the actual birth. Just seven little verses.
Mm-hmm.
He's just stamping it historically, putting it in its time and place, telling us where it happened in Bethlehem, and then saying, hey, he came, laid him in a manger. That's the story.
There you are.
Hey, wait a minute. This is the Son of God. This is the Son of the Most High. Shouldn't there be neon lights flashing? Shouldn't we get into every single detail of what went on? No, he just kind of lays it out in very plain, simple, black and white language. Why? Because that was the setting. It was a setting of humbleness, of humility.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ came into this world. He humbled himself to become one of us, and the surroundings matched the reality of what was happening mm-hmm. through this birth.
Right. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel, everybody. This, of course, the account of the birth of Jesus Christ on Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we hope the recounting of the story is a blessing in your life as it is to ours. Bob and I and the staff invite you, our listeners, to subscribe to the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. It's free, and it arrives every morning in your email box. You can start each day by being reminded of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can subscribe today and start every day in the sure knowledge that you are a dearly loved child of God. You can start your free subscription right now at basicgospel.net/subscribe, and we hope you'll do that today. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/subscribe. Okay, now let's get back to the Christmas story, and again, here's Bob.
Okay, so Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. This is the normal response to a supernatural visitation.
Yes.
We are natural-born legalists. We have fear inherent in our hearts. We're afraid. We're afraid of God. We're afraid of punishment. We're afraid of all of that stuff because of sin. And so they responded as any human being would have responded in this situation. But the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Not just some of the people, but all the people. And what he means there is Jew and Gentile alike.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' birth into this world means salvation for both Jew and Gentile, for anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. So he says, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy." So Jesus was good news back then. He's good news today. And when we respond to this story in faith, it becomes great joy in our hearts. And here's the good news: for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior.
Yeah.
Why was a Savior born? Because we needed a Savior. We didn't need a manager. We didn't need a coach. We didn't need any of that stuff.
Some of us need a keeper, but other than that.
We needed a Savior. So God sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world, and he is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. We just saw that that's exactly what Mary did after Jesus was born. Wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. And suddenly there was with this angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Well, who are those he is pleased with? Those who respond to this good news concerning Jesus.
Yeah.
Those who receive him as their very Savior mm-hmm. and are set free from the law of sin and death. That's who he's pleased with. And there are people out there that reject that. And until they change their mind, until they repent, and that's what repentance is all about, they're going to be outside. They're going to stay under the condemnation of God, and under the condemnation of sin and death. It's when they respond to this good news concerning Jesus that a Savior was born into this world for them, that they can experience the grace of God. So when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Now, I love this about the shepherds. They heard a message from the angels. The angels were doing exactly what God created them to do, and that was to be ministering servants to those who would inherit everlasting life. That's why God created the angels, for our benefit, to serve us who were going to inherit eternal life. And so the shepherd said, "Let's go and see him. Let's not just let this story go in one ear and out the other. Yeah. Let's go and verify what the angels have said." And so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. So they recognized that this indeed was good news. And so they made the good news known. And it says, "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." It stirred up inquiry inside of them. It made them question and made them wonder, could this be the actual Messiah that has been predicted for all of these years? Now, the angels made it known. Mary, on the other hand, treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I mean, this was just too much for her to really grasp. I mean, the fact that she was a virgin and the Holy Spirit came upon her and the power overpowered her and a baby was placed into her womb. It was too much. And then angels appearing to shepherds and shepherds showing up to see this babe. It was too much. I remember when I came to Christ at this youth camp between my sixth and seventh grade year. That night, the message of Christ just captured my mind and my heart in such a way that everything else just disappeared out of my mind. I could just focus on Jesus. It was just a beautiful moment. And I received Christ, and I knew something happened, but I wasn't sure. So I didn't go off and tell my parents or friends because I really didn't know. So I was kind of like Mary.
Yeah.
I just pondered these things in my heart, and it was some 9 or 10 years later before I really made it known what Christ had done in my life way back at that youth camp. So I know there's a lot of people out there that are pondering these things in their heart. And if you're there, there's going to be a time when it all becomes clear and you can tell the story just as the shepherds did. Mm-hmm. And it says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus." So Mary and Joseph followed through with what the angel told them to do, to give him the name of Jesus. And that's exactly what they did. So this is the story of Christmas from Luke's perspective.
Yeah.
He sets it in its historical context. He gives us some of the interaction between Mary and the angels, the shepherd and the angels. And we see some incredible things through this that are an encouragement to us. And the most encouraging of it all is that God so loved us that he sent Jesus into this world to be our Savior from sin and death.
Yes, indeed. Bob, thank you. Just a wonderful story. And friends, thank you for being with us for part two of the Christmas story, the account of Dr. Luke here on Basic Gospel. Next week, we'll take a look at the account of the Apostle John. If you have questions about anything you've heard on Basic Gospel, or in general for that matter, the phone line is always open for you at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. We love hearing from you, our listeners, and we'll be glad to address your question on the air. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Use it now or any time. Also, keep in mind that Basic Gospel, if it's making a difference in your life, help us keep the good news coming by supporting this ministry with your prayers and with your gifts. You can do that now or anytime at basicgospel.net. There's a prominent donate link right there on the homepage, and you can find it at our regular home site, basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to do that today. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again on Monday for Basic Gospel. Merry Christmas, everybody, and have a great weekend.